This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at the charitable actions or the good actions, the virtuous actions of the human being. And some of these charitable actions that we find of being good and being kind, that some of us will begin to condense them. That we think that only on certain moments or certain occasions, certain times, a person should be charitable. Or charity is only the deliverance of giving one's wealth. However, Islam lays out various formats of charity. Some of them happen to be an obligation for the individual to carry out, not just once, but near enough every single day of their life. That commandments that encouraging the individual to spend from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the human being. And thus we find inside the Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or in general wherever as-salah is mentioned, it is coupled with az-zakah. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ آتُ الزَّكَاةَ, which occurs together some 82 occasions inside the Qur'an. And we find that many of the ulama of logha mention of Qur'an that whenever an awamir tatakarrar, prohibitions or commandments are emphasized inside the Qur'an, تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْأَهْمِيَةِ, shows the importance of continuously repeating something inside the Qur'an with a slight variation of wording or in the actual kalima itself to show its importance. Thus the Quran is replete with ayat about tawheed, abstinence from shirk, worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Near enough in every single page of the Quran, and possibly even near enough every single ayah inside the Quran, it will return back to the belief in Allah, to the remembrance of Allah, to the submission of Allah, to the worship of Allah. Directly or indirectly, the verse will have a hidden message if we take out the verses of Ahkam. وحتى even ayat al-Ahkam that we find at times will revolve around reflecting within the individual and life of the individual to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find the Quran mentions that certain forms of sadaqat, certain charitable actions that we find are actually obligations. For مثلا inside Surah Tawbah we find إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتِ, the giving of sadaqat, هُنَا بِمَعْنَا الزَّكَاةِ, the giving of charity here is an obligation. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ, these eight categories are mentioned here. This is an obligatory action for the individual to deliver their wealth, to give their wealth. That's why in today's hadith, عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ صَدَقَةِ, upon every single Muslim is to do a charitable action. Whether it be the obligatory charity or the list of charitable actions that we find that the Prophet ﷺ lists here. To be charitable, as we mentioned, is a lifelong practice. Every single day, every single moment, trying to find an avenue to be charitable. Never condense your life upon one charity or upon one action. What we find that some of us are going to touch upon, that our life becomes that at least I do this in my life, that this will be my gateway to paradise, this will be my ticket to paradise, this will suffice me to get into paradise. Rather, we find turuq ila jannah are many, kathira, many ways to enter into paradise, and every single way the person needs to try to find some contribution towards one of those paths towards paradise. Ala kulli muslim sadaqatun. قَالُوا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, upon every single Muslim is to carry out a charity. What if the person is unable to do that? قَالَ يَعْمَلْ بِيَدِهِ فَيَدْفَعُ نَفْسَهُ وَيَتَصَدَّقْ, then let the person work with his own hands, benefit himself, and try to benefit other individuals. قَالُوا فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, if the person doesn't have some means of wealth, or working, or having some property, يُعِينُ ذَا الْحَاجَةِ مَلْهُوفِ, then aid someone else who asks for some help, who needs some assistance, go and try to find and help that individual. قَالُوا فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ,
person isn't able to help other individuals, فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنِ الشَّرِّ فَإِنَّهَ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ رَوَاهُ إِمَامُ بُخَارِي. Person isn't able to do that, then let that person يَعْمَلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, order the good, carry out good actions, order other people to do good actions. وَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنِ الشَّرِّ, stay away from any form of evil, combating evil, falling into any evil yourself, and that becomes an ongoing charity for that individual. عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ صَدَقَةٌ, upon every single Muslim is to give some charity that we find, because the giving of charity shows gratitude, shows thanks, shows obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in essence all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's if you study all those ahadith which speak about giving of charity or doing charitable actions, you begin to see it combines, whether it be the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the physical obedience, and likewise physical actions are all classified as charitable actions, acts of charity that a person needs to do. فَمَثْلًا إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَبِكُلِّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. In every single tasbih, saying of subhanallah is sadaqah. In every single takbir is sadaqah. In every single tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah is sadaqah. All these are forms of sadaqah that we find. But it doesn't stop there. It highlights that the person ordering the good and forbidding the evil, helping another individual. وَفِي بُدْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٍ. And likewise in matrimonial relationships, there's a charity, there's a sadaqah. So some of the companions were started taken aback by this, that regarding this affair, this practice, how is that sadaqah? How does that become charity for the individual? So the Prophet ﷺ explains to them, فَإِذَا وَضَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ كَانَ لَهُ وِزْرٌ. Person places themselves inside some form of haram action, becomes a sin, a blame for the individual. Person carries out in a halal manner, it becomes a form of charity, rewarding for that individual. Another hadith that you find, كُلُّ سَلَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ صَدَقَةٌ. Upon every single joint of the human being, an ulama of Tibba mentioned, like with a hadith as well before that, some 360 joints inside the body that we find. Every single day, person has to show gratitude, show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single joint of their body. The hadith mentions, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلَعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Every day whereby the sun rises, show your gratitude, obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةٌ. Don't think that just praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only form of sadaqah, because some of us, that's what we become. We become aloof to society. We become away from society. We become, if we can use the word linguistically, monks in our own format. رَحْبَانِيُّونَ. It's living in a form of, in a monastery that we live in, that we have no engagement inside society, the people around us. تَعْدِلُ بَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةٌ. You judge between two people, try to be fair, try to take away their problems, try to find a solution for them, is a form of sadaqah for that individual. Likewise, if I'm to assist a person to climb upon their riding beast, to give them the utensils, to give them their luggage, is a form of sadaqah for the individual. Al-kalimatu tayyiba sadaqah. To say a good word to another person is sadaqah. And likewise, we find وَكُلُّ خُطْوَةٍ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٌ. And every step that you take to the masjid becomes a charitable action for the individual, raises you in one step, and wipes away a sin of the individual. Then the hadith, it continues, وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةٌ. To remove an obstacle from the path, a branch, something obstructing the people, becomes a form of sadaqah for the individual. All of this becomes encouragement for the individual to find ways of doing a charitable action every single day inside their life. قَالُوا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. O Prophet of Allah, what if one of us is unable to do that? Is unable to do a charitable action in that manner? قَالَ يَعْمَلْ بِيَدِهِ فَيَنْفَعُ نَفْسَهُ وَيَتَصَدَّقْ. Let the person work with his own hands and then spend from that wealth upon other individuals. Work hard and do not depend on others. And as we find that our society at the moment that we find, as ulama mentioned, a society that becomes dependent leads to unnecessary obedience. When you become reliant upon a government, on a regime, on a trust, on a funding, on a charity, on handouts, you become reliant. As they say, the hand that feeds you, very rarely does a person rise against that. It's common human psychology. The hand that feeds you, takes care of you, very rarely will you speak out against it. Very rarely will you rise up against it. Because they're the ones that feed you. They're the ones that control you. That's why you find that many ulama read through this seerah, they're never subservient to anything. They earn their own wealth. They live their own life. That's why many of them, they warned, they said, stay away from people who govern and rule over you. Because it'll only be a matter of time that those who feed you will control your mindset, will make you individuals to issue verdicts. Verdicts to suit whom? The Muslim world, or to suit their own selves? Don't be surprised. Don't be taken aback and think, well, that sounds strange. It's visible in front of us. Religious verdicts after verdicts are given to solidify whom? Solidify a Muslim cause and Muslim protection. To solidify what? That bombs can be dropped on an innocent country because we feel they're a threat to us. A neighboring country, they're a threat to us, so bomb them to the ground because we feel they may rise against us. Verdicts are given. Real ulama, not to question any ulama, but need to be vigilant about their lives to see what takes place around them. That just because people feed us doesn't mean that we respond to everything. A person is hur in the parameters of Quran and Sunnah to speak their mind in a right way, justful manner. Doesn't mean rebelliousness. Doesn't mean that a person is calling towards destroying of regimes and societies and people. It means highlighting that wherever a person goes, that this is something which is intolerable inside our society, that people should be suffering. And thus we find that we cannot feel that a hand that you cannot bite and a hand that feeds you, as they say. And likewise, many of our youth, look at the state of many of our youth that we find. Hardly any skill, any ability that we find. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. Both of them, there's goodness inside them, no doubt. But many of our youth, they are content. They are happy with the stipends that are given to them. The benefit that's given to them. The small meager element that's given to them. Yes, there are people in need, there's no doubt we'll have that. But why has that become a common practice for our people? That we just take these stipends from the government and we live a life like this. How do you expect the rising of Islam? How do you expect, even before that, how do you expect what your children will see amongst you? What will your children see amongst you? Excuse the expression, this is what my father is. My father relies on benefits. My father relies upon the people. And then you expect them to rise? You expect them to become individuals who have a power and a dignity of Islam within themselves? Yet they see that ourselves, if they see us as role models, that this is the type of people that we are. And thus we find that we become, unfortunately, a crippled society. Society which is crippled. That's what's coming inside a society, crippled society. There's no vision. There's no aspiration. There's no awakening. There's no thinking that we speak about golden era. You know, if you study the golden era that you find, it was an era that you find that there was hardly anybody who needed wealth. That's what the golden era was, that people go for one person, another person to offer charity. And they would refuse it. Say, we have enough wealth, we have enough property. How did one come to that golden era? One of belief and conviction and striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it's not necessarily masses of wealth. It's not massive, it's not quantity, it's quality. Charity doesn't have to be millions. That a person thinks that this is the benchmark. It's quality. That's what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned or speaking about. It all boils down to the intent of the individual. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the deliverance from the fire. That's what we find in the hadith inside Bukhari Muslim. Save yourselves from the hellfire. وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ طَمْرًا. Even by not a date, by a half a date. Deliver yourself from the fire, rescue yourself. So here the hadith is entailing. Doesn't have to be masses of wealth. A penny, a pound, whatever it may be, with that right intention, that this is trying to deliver me from the fire, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That maybe this wealth may intercede for me, may help me, may deliver me from calamities. And they say inside numerous ahadith, protect the person from any calamity that may befall them. Change destiny as well, even though destiny has been destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it may weaken the calamity that befalls or comes upon that individual. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ قَالَ يُعِينُ ذَا الْحَاجَةِ مَلْهُوفِ. What if a person is not able to work, not able to spend their wealth? Then go and help another individual. Or people who appeal for help, go and help them. Do some social aid. Go and help human aid, help other individuals inside society. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned that Shaykh Sahib Ibn Taymiyyah, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, mentioned that my Shaykh, my teacher, this is what he would do. He would go out and he would seek people to try to go and help them and help these individuals. With one intention that these people, I know if I help them, then Allah will help me. This is Shaykh Sahib Ibn Taymiyyah. He would go out to search for people who need help, who want some help given to them, with the intent that when I help these individuals, Allah is in the aid of His servant, as long as the servant is in the aid of his brother. So Allah is in the aid of the individual, assists the individual. The individual searches to find someone to help. Allah is helping the individual by default, helping them with their problems, helping them with their life, helping them with their issues, is the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنِ الشَّرِّ. If the person is not able to do that, let the person order the good and stay away from the evil. الدَّاعِي إِلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. The one who calls to goodness is like the one who does the action. You know, we have to sometimes accept and recognize our limitations. Maybe some things we cannot do, we cannot achieve inside our lives. But at least we can encourage someone else. Encourage someone else to do a good deed. Encourage another person to stay away from a bad deed. Encourage oneself to stay away from a bad deed. مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever does a good deed inside Islam, which has a precedence, then that person will have the reward of whoever follows that individual. You remind people about an action. You encourage people to do an action. Give charity. Even the context of hadith is speaking about the giving of charity. As ulama of hadith have mentioned, that you find that some poor people came in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and they complained of their weakness and their poverty, and people being reluctant to give the wealth. Till eventually someone stood up and gave some wealth. And that led to a precedent that everybody seeing this action, they began to give their wealth. There was mountains of wealth, mountains of food were there. ثُمَّ قَالْ مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever does a good deed encourages a good deed, and other people begin to follow it, becomes a rewarding for the first individual. And then he smiled. So you find sometimes doing a good deed, you do it yourself practically, encourages other individuals to come and do that good deed. And likewise the opposite. Whoever does a bad deed, introduces a bad deed, does a bad deed, encourages a bad deed, will have the wisdom, the blame, the sin, or whoever follows that individual all the way into the day of judgment. So that's why a Muslim needs to be very vigilant inside their life. فِي الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. In ordering the good and forbidding the evil. That if you know that, for example, a person smokes inside their life, and you introduce smoking to another individual, they impose it to another individual, or introduce another individual, it becomes a domino effect. Somewhere along the line, you may have given up smoking inside your life, but you, by introducing this individual to this haram, will carry, may Allah forbid, the wizard, ila yawmil qiyamah, will carry the sin until the day of judgment. That's why when a person sins, they should try to codify their sin, try to embrace their sin upon their own self. You know, it may sound strange, that's why some fuqaha, they mention a person asked a question, لَمَّا أُدَخِلْ يَجُزْلِي أَسْتَمِعْ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ. When I'm smoking, is it allowed for me to listen to the Qur'an? Some of us might find that revolting. How dare a person even ask that question, that when they're smoking, can they listen to the Qur'an? But some fuqaha take it from a different dimension. That there is some khayr inside you. There's some khayr inside you, you want to listen to the Qur'an. Obviously, tadkhil is haram. But I don't abandon the Qur'an. Maybe ayat of the Qur'an, some verse inside the Quran may awaken you, may understand the language of Quran, awaken you to eventually abandon it. Doesn't mean this becomes a ruling for everyone to do, but it's showing the understanding that the person knows their sin, keeps it to themselves. Other fuqaha mentioned that when Muslims are drinking alcohol, may Allah forbid drinking khamr, when a person passes the glass to another individual, do they say that this society teaches or encourages that enjoy your life, that you can drink as well? What should you say to that individual? تَتَعَجَّ مِنْ هَذِ الْكَلِمَةِ. You'll be taken aback by what they say, fuqaha mentioned. If you present drink to your brother, say to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Say to him, "Fear Allah." If you present it to him, you're sitting and drinking together, remind him to fear Allah. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَجَنَّبُ. Perhaps he may abstain, perhaps he may give it up. It doesn't say that all of us join in together. Yes, there could be an element of hypocrisy inside a person's words and actions. But it's khayr, it's goodness. A person has some belief, some conviction inside their heart that they may awaken the individual. So al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, ordering the good and forbidding the evil, becomes charitable, becomes rewarding for that individual inside their life. Thus we find that charity is amongst the most important factors of Islam, an important virtue of the individual, whereby we're indoctrinated by materialism, that every man for himself, every person lives for himself, that if people are suffering, or people are impoverished, or people inside difficulty, you know, it shouldn't really bother me inside my life. You know, and sometimes, you know, we write to read works, or we claim to follow works of the Salaf as they claim, or people claim. You read Sir A'lam al-Nubala, 20 volumes by Imam Dhahabi, speaking about the lives of ulama Nubala. Those people, read about their lives. It's not just about ilm. It's about how many of them would get upset inside their lives when difficulties were being posed with the people around them, hardships. People are suffering, people in a dire state. It would trouble them. Restless nights, wouldn't sleep, become over-worried. Physically, become vigilant upon their faces, in their words, upon their life. People around them pose that question, wouldn't even pose the question. People would recognize that is somebody being oppressed? Is somebody being tortured? Is somebody being harmed? Is there some wrong being done? That someone has written to them, let them know this is the oppression that's taking place. It will trouble them. And that is how a Muslim should be. That all becomes charity for the individual, to remind oneself, to remind other individuals. And likewise, find a visible expression of one's love and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To spend on the things that we cherish, of the things that we desire. And that's when a person asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about charity. What type of charity is best? He said, practice charity when you are healthy. Practice charity when you're healthy. When you're inclined, that you're inclined towards, that you may, towards stinginess. That when you have the wealth, it's inside your hands, that's the best form of charity. Likewise, when you're afraid of poverty, you should give the charity. When you think you're going to live long and you're going to be wealthy, when you think that nothing's going to happen to you inside your life, that is the best form of charity. And charity isn't that when you're in your deathbed that you say that give it to such and such individual, because you know at that moment in time, as mentioned in this hadith, it already belongs to such and such individual. That's what real charity is. When you're rich, you're enjoying life. As they say, everything is going in your favor inside your life. That's the best charity. That's the peak of charity. Not when a person falls sick, when a person loses their job, then give sadaqah that maybe some barakah could come to me, even though that's good. Or when a person's about to die, leave this dunya, then begin to write down, give this money to such and such individual. It's already been handed out to those individuals. Give it at the prime element of your life is the ultimate level of charity that you find. Likewise, the advice Asma bint Abi Bakr, the sister of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, do not shut your purse, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold His blessings from you. Spend as much as you can afford. In the hadith inside Sahih Bukhari, don't shut your purse. In today's world, in today's land, don't shut your wallet, don't shut your money away. Spend as much as you can and your ability towards other individuals in helping other individuals. And this becomes the impact upon society that we find, upon the individual society around us. Many of us, we give personal charities are given, or personal gratification that people give. Many people, even non-Muslims, they give wealth, there's no doubt about that. And as we began with, they may rely upon that I'm a charitable individual. We, some of us Muslims, begin to rely upon that as well, thinking, well, I've given charity, then this will be my gateway to paradise. And likewise, from the other opposite extreme, that I've done my prayers, I've done this good deed, then this is my way to paradise. Person needs to find all methods, all ways of paradise. Person shouldn't just rely that I've given this wealth and this will be my ticket to paradise. And as we mentioned, that even non-Muslims, they give wealth. And we mentioned this just to help us to understand, because it's a global world. is a world full of technology that we find. But you know, even many of us, the phones that we use, the Apple phone that we use, if you read about the life of this individual, the founder of Apple that we find, Steve Jobs that we find, died at the age of 56. When he died some years ago, his value was about $10.2 billion. Go and study his final speech, "If I Was to Die Tomorrow." He concludes and recognizes that death is going to overtake him. But he wanted to leave a legacy. He wanted everybody to see that this is what the brand, this is what he's left behind. That will be his sadaqah, that will be his charity. That's his aspiration, that's his life, that's his hope. That this is how people remember me. That's how these people, their mindset thinks. Allah gives it to them. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man has whatever he strives for. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. He will see what he strives for inside that. We'll be showing to an individual. We should look at the level of Muslims. The level of those Muslims and what they do with their wealth and what they did with their wealth. The amount of wealth that we possess isn't anything short from the wealth that maybe non-Muslims may possess. If you begin to study the amount of wealth that is owned by Muslims that you find, or certain individuals or certain families that you find at times $1.4 trillion of wealth that exists there, of certain Muslim families exists there. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this Muslim ummah. But it's all about finding the heart and the mind and taking it to a step further to use their wealth. And thus we conclude with two examples about how those individuals were with their wealth. I will find the beginning of the fourth juz of the Quran inside Surah Al Imran that we find. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend the things that you love. If you read the tafsir of these verses at Tafsir Ibn Kathir that we find, you find Abu Talha al-Ansari, that he had a garden that he rejoiced in. This garden was directly in front of the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, known as the name of Bureyha. That if I even the Prophet ﷺ would eat from the dates and drink from the stream, drink from the water. When he heard these ayah, or heard this verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend what you love. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you know about my garden, you've heard of my garden, you've seen my garden." He said, "Yes, we enjoy the water, we eat from the fruits of that garden." He said, "Where do you think I should place it? Meaning that, where should I just give it all away? All this garden, should I just give it away inside charity?" He said, "No, store some of it for your children and your family members. Don't just give all of it away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That's how they understood life. When they heard passages from the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety, real belief, conviction, until you don't spend on the things that you love. The second individual is Abu Dahdah al-Ansari, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud mentions, also that tafsir Ibn Kathir. مَنْ الَّذِي يُقْرِدُ اللَّهُ يُقْرِدُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُدَاعِفَهُ لَهُ كَثِيرًا. Who is going to give a goodly loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah will multiply that loan of the individual. Ibn Kathir mentions that this individual once again had a great big garden. And he asked that, "If I give this loan, or give this garden away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will it be multiplied? Will reward be given to me?" "Of course reward will be given to you." Another word is a hadith that we find. Different wordings, different collections that we find. We find there's an orphan child. And this orphan child, he wanted to build a wall around his perimeter, around his bustan, around his garden. But there was one tree that was an obstacle inside his garden. So he had to build the wall around the tree. So he asked this individual who owned that one tree, "You have many trees. Give me this one tree so I can build a straight wall, so I can secure my garden. I'm an orphan child. My father has passed away. I can preserve my sanctuary." This rich individual who owned all of these trees, he refused. He refused to give just one tree to this orphan child. This orphan child, he complained, took his dispute to the Prophet ﷺ, and called this individual and asked him, "Is this correct?" He said, "I don't want to give him this tree." The Prophet ﷺ, he interceded. He said, "If you give him this tree, لَكَ الشَّجْرَةُ نَخْلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. If you give him this one tree, I will guarantee you a tree inside paradise. A tree in paradise that we know will take a swift rider just to cross the shade 100 years. Like a nakhla fil jannah. You'll have a tree inside paradise. Farafada. He refused. Why did he refuse? You know, because some of us are mental psyche. We want things of the dunya. Don't be surprised. People existed yesterday, today. Same mentality. Some of us, we don't want Jannah. When we talk about you give this, you get Jannah, we don't want that. We want tangible assets. We want reward given to us comfortably inside this dunya. We want to physically see it. What more could the Prophet ﷺ say to this individual? He doesn't want the tree in paradise. Abu Dahlan standing there, he approaches this man. He said, do you know about my garden? He said, who doesn't know about the garden, Abu Dahlan? Who doesn't know about it? The 500 odd trees, the orchards, the fruits, the vegetation. Who doesn't know about it? He said, will you give me that tree? Will you give me that tree? And I will give you in return the whole of my garden. Now this individual, his mindset clicks. He said that all the people said, are you a witness to this? He said, we're all witnesses. That if you give all of this garden to this individual, he will give you that tree. That's it, signed off. Abu Dahda turns to the Prophet and says to him, that will you, am I not guaranteed a tree in paradise? He said, yes, you are. You've been guaranteed a tree in paradise. He now walks back to his garden. And from outside the garden, he shouts out, Ya Dahda, ukhriji min al bustan. Shouts out to his wife, come out the garden. Firstly, she thought that my husband calling me from outside the garden is not his normal adab. He doesn't normally do that, calling me from outside the house. And even in ahadith, you learn adab towards your family members, that don't shout at them. So she found it very strange. How is he shouting from outside the house? So she said, what is it? Qala laqad bi'tu al-bustan. He said, I've sold the garden. Mother, you sold the garden? What did you sell it for? لَقَدْ بِئْتُ لِشَّجَرَ. I sold it for one tree. A shajara fil jannah. I sold it for one tree in paradise. She said, you have done the best sale you have ever done in your life. You've done the best sale you've ever done in your life. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَتْ بِأَوْلَادِهَا. She walked out the garden. Her children were still eating some dates. They plucked it out of their mouths and threw it back in the garden. Doesn't belong to us anymore. This bustan doesn't belong to us anymore. We're searching. We're looking for what? Our tree in paradise. This is what charity is. This is what life of these individuals was. They're not like many of us becoming over worried. Yes, we should be worried. But this is what was their perception. Thus you find that many of the companions, if you look through toward the end of their life, they were rich individuals. They were very rich individuals from the life, the way they began and the end of their life. But none of them, that richness contaminated their heart. It never contaminated their heart. They knew what to do with their wealth, or what the intent of their wealth was. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to become charitable individuals, use our wealth, use our property for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes a source of evidence for us and not an evidence against us.